There was no light with him as he ran along the dark hall. He scooped up the satchel, was out of the house and racing down the 36 chapel steps to the road, just running. Was it a sapper or was it a civilian? The sappers kept to themselves for the most part. They never became familiar with each other. When they talked, they passed only information along, new devices, habits of the enemy. He would step into the town hall where they were billeted, and his eyes would take in the three faces and be aware of the absence of the fourth. Or there would be four of them, and in a field somewhere would be the body of an old man or a girl. The four of them in the villa had celebrated in this evening's brief dance in the English patient's room their own simple adventures. Hannah her sleep, Caravaggio his finding of the gramophone, and Kip a difficult defusing, though he had almost forgotten such a moment already. He was someone who felt uncomfortable in celebrations, in victories. Just 50 yards away, there had been no representation of them in the world, no sound or sight of them from the valley's eye as Hannah's and Caravaggio's shadows glided across the walls and Kip sat comfortably encased in the alcove and the English patient sipped his wine. Then Kip had turned his head suddenly, knowing everything as he heard the sound, certain of it. He had looked back at them and for the first time in his life lied. "It's all right, it wasn't a mine. That seemed to come from a cleared area," prepared to wait till the smell of the cordite reached him. Now, hours later, Kip sits once again in the window alcove. If he could walk the 7 yards across the Englishman's room and touch Hannah, he would be sane. He had returned from the source of the mine explosion to find Caravaggio asleep on the library sofa with the dog in his arms. Kip took off his boots, tied the laces together and slung them over his shoulder as he went upstairs. It had started to rain and he needed a tarpaulin for his tent. From the hall he saw the light still on in the English patient's room. Hannah sat in a chair, one elbow on the table where the low candle sprayed its light, her head leaning back. He lowered his boots to the floor and came silently into the room where the party had been going on 3 hours earlier. She put her fingers to her lips as he entered and then pointed to the patient. He wouldn't hear Kip's silent walk. The sapper sat in the well of the window again. If he could walk across the room and touch her, he would be sane. But between them lay a treacherous and complex journey. It was a very wide world, and the Englishman woke at any sound. The hearing aid turned to full level when he slept, so he could be secure in his own awareness. Kip had found the location of the death and what was left there, and they had buried his second in command, Hardy. And afterwards he kept thinking of the girl that afternoon, suddenly terrified for her, angry at her for involving herself. She had tried to damage her life so casually. He had walked back through the village, rain falling into pollarded trees of the town square, untrimmed since the start of the war. And now he was here, the candlelight swaying, altering her look so he could not tell what she thought, wisdom or sadness or curiosity. If she had been reading, or if she had been bending over the Englishman, he would have nodded to her and left. But he's now watching Hannah as someone young and alone. Tonight, gazing at the scene of the mine blast, he had begun to fear her presence during the afternoon dismantling. He had to remove it, or she would be with him each time he approached a fuse. He would be pregnant with her. When he worked, clarity and music filled him, the human world extinguished. Now she was within him or on his shoulder, the way he had once seen a live goat being carried by an officer out of a tunnel they were attempting to flood. No, that wasn't true. He wanted Hannah's shoulder, wanted to place his palm over it as he had done in the sunlight when she had slept and he had lain there as if in someone's rifle sights, awkward with her. He is halfway across the room, his hand sunk to the wrist in his open satchel which still hangs off his shoulder, his walk silent. He turns and pauses beside the bed. As the English patient completes one of his long exhalations, Kip snips the wire of his hearing aid with the cutter and drops them back into the satchel. He turns and grins towards her. "I'll rewire him in the morning." He puts his left hand on her shoulder.